Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 41 from Canto 4, Chapter 7. Agnir Uvacha. Yatejasaham susamidha teja. Avyambahe svadhara anjashiktam. Tamyajiyam pancha vidham cha panchibhi. Shvishtam yajurbi pranatosmi yagyam. Agnihi, the fire god, uvacha, said, yat tejasa, by whose effulgence, aham, I, susamidha teja, as luminous as blazing fire. Havyam, offerings. Vahe, I am accepting. Su advare, in the sacrifice. Ajashiktam, mixed with butter. Tam, that. Yajiyam, the protector of sacrifice. Pancha vidham, five. Cha, and. Pancha bahi, by five. Su sishtam, worshipped. Yajurbi, Vedic hymns. Pranataha, offer respectful obeisances. Asmi, I, yagyam, to yagya Vishnu. Translation, the fire god said, my dear Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because by your favor I am as luminous as blazing fire, and I accept the offerings mixed with butter and offered in sacrifice. The five kinds of offering, according to the Yajur Veda, are all your different energies, and you are worshipped by five kinds of hymns. Sacrifice means your supreme personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said that yajna should be performed for Vishnu. Where is it that clearly said in Bhagavad Gita? Yagnartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanai. Bhagavad Gita chapter 3. Lord Vishnu has 1,000 popular transcendental names, out of which one name is Yajna. That's a reference to Vishnu Sahasranam. Vishnu has 1,000 popular names, and one of them is Yajna. It is clearly said that everything should be done for the satisfaction of Yajna, or Vishnu. He's now repeating it. Bhagavad Gita said it. Vishnu Sahasranam mentions the name. Now he's repeating it. All other actions a person may take are only causes for his bondage. Okayam karma bandhana. As stated in the Upanishads, fire, the altar, the auspicious full moon, the period of 4 months called Chaturmasya, the sacrificial animal, and the beverage called soma are necessary requisites, as they are, as are the specific hymns mentioned in the Vedas and composed of 4 letters. There's lots of technical things here, so if your head's spinning, don't worry about it. One hymn is as follows. Ashravayeti chatur aksharam astu shoshrad iti chatur ashram yajeti dvabhyamye yajamanaha. These mantras, chanted according to the Shruti and Smriti literatures, are only to please Lord Vishnu. Just like, that's this 6 times so far in the purport. All these sacrifices are meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu. For the deliverance of those who are materially conditioned and attached to material enjoyment, performing yajna, and following the rules and regulations of the 4 divisions of society and of spiritual life are recommended. It is said in the Vishnu Purana that by offering sacrifice to Vishnu, one can gradually be liberated. So everything from that sentence and above, it's just scriptural references, different places, essentially giving one strong, clear, same message. These performances of sacrifice for Vishnu, one of whose names is Yajna, must be performed by human society and for elevation. And when one does perform those sacrifices for Vishnu, along with the Varnashram duties properly being performed, one can achieve the stage of liberation. That's the message so far. The whole target of life, therefore, is to please Lord Vishnu. That is yajna. A person who is in Krishna consciousness has dedicated his life for the satisfaction of Krishna, the original form of all, the origin of all Vishnu forms. And by offering worship and prasad daily, he becomes the best performer of yajna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated that in this age of Kali, the only successful performance of yajna or sacrifice is sankirtan. Yajyai sankirtana prayai. The best type of sacrifice is simply to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This yajna is offered before the form of Lord Chaitanya, as other yajnas are offered before the form of Lord Vishnu. These recommendations are found in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Moreover, this yajna performance confirms that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Vishnu himself, as Vishnu appeared at the Daksha Yajna long, long ago. Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, has appeared in this age to accept our Sankirtan Yajna. End of purport. So the scene is the Daksha Yajna, and a whole series of things have happened, of offenses and curses and counter curses and annihilations and big bloody mess. Lord Vishnu was propitiated after all of that, and he's come to like bring peace to the situation, and various demigods. And yesterday was the personified Vedas, and various personalities are offering prayers to Lord Vishnu from their respective positions. There's two other places that come to mind right away where there's a whole series of demigod verses. One is in the 7th canto when the demigods are offering prayers to Lord Nrisingadev. In the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, demigods are offering prayers to Lord Krishna in the womb. In the 5th canto, there's prayers to the Supreme Lord by the residents of Jambudweep. Here's another one, 4th canto. And each of them are expressing themselves according to their realization, obviously. And they have different realizations. And when you study them very, very carefully, I did this once for a week-long seminar on prayers. I thought, boy, that'd be a nice topic. Prayers from Srimad Bhagavatam. Nice topic. So I started doing some preparation, and I found it was like, you know, it was a lot. A lot. That like 60% of the Srimad Bhagavatam verses are prayers. So it's 18,000 times 0.6. You know, it was a lot of verses to cover in a seminar. So I had to modify the plan. The prayers, because they're prayers, it tells us the importance of prayer. And because it's prayers within the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's instructive how elevated personalities, far more elevated than ourselves, how they offer prayers. And some of them even can be adopted as standard prayers that we might recite. But again, once again, the point I was making was that prayers by the demigods show their position. They're devotees, but they're also mixed. They don't have the same understanding as, let's say, the personified Vedas, or the same understanding as Queen Kunti, even for that matter, although she's claiming, I don't have the capacity to understand you. I'm not a great scholar. I'm just a frail woman. How can I possibly understand you? And yet she, in her prayers, she makes it very clear that she does understand him very clearly within certain limits. So the demigods, they also have their limits. And the person who is speaking presently or offering prayers is Agni. Agni is a very important demigod amongst the demigods. He's the demigod in charge of fire. And in Vedic life, fire or sacrificial fire is very important, has a very important role, as the recipient of offerings, or the tongue of Vishnu is when one offers ghee and grains, as the verse says, mixed with mantras, standard mantras from the Vedas, he's saying it's by your mercy, by your special favor, I have this service to do. I'm luminous, and I'm on your behalf. I'm accepting sacrifices. offerings that are meant for you, but I'm the recipient on your behalf by your arrangement. If you, for a moment, can think about the prayers from Brahma Samhita, it kind of is done from third person instead of first person. That is to say, Lord Brahma is praying to Govinda various glorifications of Govinda, and in the course of that, some of the verses are describing the service that that particular demigods will do. The service of the sun, the service of Durga, the service of Ganesh, the service of various personalities who, by the Lord's special favor and mercy upon them, they have a particular service to do. And that service indeed they do on behalf of or in service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Vajami. And the way that this verse is being set up, it's instead of Brahma speaking about the demigods, it's demigods speaking about their service unto the Supreme Lord, so they're speaking about themselves, but it's their relationship with the Supreme Lord. In this case, it's the fire god and Yajna. Yajna is a name of Vishnu. It's an aspect of Vishnu or a feature of Vishnu that receives formal Vedic sacrifice. And he, Agni, has a role in that formal Vedic sacrifice. Offerings of ghee, it says. I accept the offerings mixed with butter and offered in sacrifice. But it's unto you, and my blazing quality to receive those offerings is because of you. The offerings themselves are your energies, and it is you who are being worshipped by the hymns themselves. So then the summary is, sacrifice means your Supreme Personality of God. It's Yajnavai Vishnu, as Prabhupada states it in the Bhagavad Gita purports. Yajnavai Vishnu, it's like equals. Vishnu equals Yajna, Yajna equals Vishnu. They're the sacrifice means Vishnu. So there's Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and Upasana Kanda. These are divisions of the Vedas. And Karma Kanda, it's being described within the purport, that is, persons that have very strong material desires. Yeah. Very strongly materially conditioned and attached to material enjoyment, the sacrifices are recommended for them for gradual elevation. While, so they become attached to the ritual because they get what they want. They have material desires, fruitive desires, and they receive the fruits of those material desires through the medium of the Vedic yajna, so they like it. And meanwhile, it increases their piety, and more, it increases their attachment to the Supreme, the source of the Vedas, Narayan. And gradually, it can lead to the position of elevation, position of liberation, by that gradual elevation. Or there are those who are followers of the Jnana Kanda section of the Vedas, and how they regard yajna, because they can't dismiss the Vedas, because they're scholars of the Vedas, their idea is the purpose of yajna is to come in contact with Brahman. It's not with a particular interest in fulfilling material desire as much as fulfilling a desire to become one with Brahman. So their idea is, you know, put on your earplugs because this is impersonalism. Their idea is that it's not sacrifice unto Vishnu, it's just sacrifice. And in those acts of sacrifice, Brahman is situated. And one can contact Brahman through acts of sacrifice. Just a short version of a long story. One devotee was having a discussion with a scholar from a scholar, Professor Dimmock, who was at University of Chicago, and he was then, you know, a graduate and, you know, doing his thing, some job somewhere in Connecticut, and one devotee was giving a class at a college, and this Professor Dimmock student came forward and, you know, they had some discussion after the class, and this scholar's or Dimmock's student's idea was that the purpose of the Vedas is sacrifice. And the devotee said, very well, sacrifice unto whom? And the reply he received was, not unto whom, just sacrifice. Do it again. The purpose of the Vedas is sacrifice. Sacrifice unto whom? Not sacrifice unto whom. Just sacrifice. Because in the acts of sacrifice, Brahman is situated. So one can contact Brahman through Vedic sacrifices. Which is true. Transcendence can be contacted through Vedic sacrifices. But there is an unto whom. That part is not right. Unto Vishnu. Yajna by Vishnu. So now we'll go to the sun god, Agni, who got it right. It's the purpose of sacrifice is to satisfy Vishnu. And the satisfaction of Vishnu can very well lead to the fulfillment of necessities of life and those things that make one materially prosperous and happy in material existence in a godly way, in a religious way, and can bring one in contact with the spiritual strata, Brahman, but more, it can bring one to the position of direct service unto Vishnu. Ultimately, devotional service unto Vishnu without material desire, without hankering for liberation, but just for the purpose of satisfying Vishnu. Prabhupada concludes by making this comparison that there's the Vedic tradition with these Vedic mantras and the fire and the ghee and the grains and the ritual. And then there's what Lord Chaitanya taught. And with Lord Chaitanya taught is simply the performance of Sankirtan. So with the performance of Sankirtan, there's the offering is being made to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just like we do every day. Every day. Every day we have yajna. But there's no fire, no ghee, no grains. It's Sankirtan. Little anecdotal story. Just over the Memorial Day weekend, there was a big yajna in Alachua. And I heard from Tamahar yesterday how that went. While we were off in Gita Nagari, they were down in Alachua. And it was a 3-day deity installation of Krishna Balaram. And presiding over the whole thing was Gaura Keshava, very flamboyant, very, you know, all the details of how to do yajnas in the flashiest way. So he organized it, and they had five different yajnas that as soon as one was nearing conclusion, the other one started, and each one took about 4.5 to 5 hours. It went on for 3 days. By the time they got to the end of the fourth yajna, almost 2 days had passed, and they were beginning the fifth, and it was a 3-hour downpour of rain. Because it says right in Bhagavad Gita, by the performance of yajna, then comes rain. And from rain comes grain. And from grain comes sustenance of the human form of life, and so forth. There's a whole cycle described in the Upanishads. Well, they really had a nice yajna because they had a torrential rain. And everyone, it was like their spirits were moved in different directions, like that this is really auspicious and it's really interfering with our yajna. It was kind of... And a not-so-dissimilar situation. And by the way, in North Florida, it's very dry. It doesn't rain a lot. So in 1974 or 75, 73 or 74, in Andhra Pradesh, there was a drought. Those that are from Andhra Pradesh or have visited there know the rainy season, it's really intense. So there was a several year drought where there was practically no rain for 3 years during the rainy season, no rain. Whew. That was devastating for the agriculture and life in general. So the government was, you know, what to do. So they asked Srila Prabhupada what to do. Because you're this great sadhu. He said we should perform Sankirtan. So he arranged for the devotees to go throughout the city and have congregational chanting throughout the city. And there was a downpour of rain within the end of the first or the end of the second day. Just rained and rained and rained and rained and rained and rained and rained. So they made a proclamation that the chanting of the holy name, the sacrifice of chanting the holy name, works, brings rain. So what to speak if society in general was organized around the principle of sacrifice? You know, the society in general is organized around the principle of sense gratification, not sacrifice. The whole of the economy is sense gratification, production and consumption. One devotee, one devotee was describing about their father, who is a businessman, and who was speaking about China as, you know, a population of so many consumer units. And it was so repulsive and strikingly impersonal for the devotee to hear a population being spoken of in that way. But that's... seeing the progress of society in terms of production and consumption, consumer economics, is a whole different perspective than seeing the purpose of society is to perform sacrifice for Vishnu. And then automatically necessities are supplied. Automatically. Not like a machine, but by God's natural arrangement, necessities are supplied. So in the conclusion here, Prabhupada is comparing Lord Vishnu appearing at the Daksha Yajna because he was being propitiated by very expert performers of Yajna, so much so he personally came. And likewise, the form of the Lord unto whom the Sankirtan is offered is Lord Chaitanya. And we have examples from Chaitanya Charitamrita where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared when the devotees were having big festival with big Sankirtan and glorification of the holy name of the Lord. He would come on occasion. Prabhupada's, where devotees would literally see him. There's a very popular Prabhupada story. One time, the devotees wanted to have a program for Srila Prabhupada in Manhattan. And they were very enthusiastic. They decided, let's not just get an ordinary place. This is Prabhupada. We should get, a fancy hall. So they scraped up enough money to rent a fancy hall. And they made, big advertising around the city. And on the evening of the event, there were but a handful of people in the hall. And the devotees felt terrible. They're extremely embarrassed, and they felt horrible. But Prabhupada was unfazed completely and just went on like the hall was packed. And at the end, they were profusely apologizing. And Prabhupada replied, rather than saying, you did a terrible job, he said, this was a very wonderful program, didn't you see? Narada Muni came, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they came, they were there. Didn't you see? The devotees didn't see. Who knows what Prabhupada saw? But when we have Sankirtan, this is how I was trained in the early days of our Krishna consciousness, when we would have Harinam. It was on the strength of Prabhupada speaking that our training was when we go on Harinam. Narada Muni is there, Lord Chaitanya is there, the Panchatattva is there, participating with us because we're glorifying them through the chanting of the holy name. So they come, they participate personally. One day we will see. But they're there because this is their service. And those who are sincerely trying to carry out their service, they're present, dancing, enjoying the chanting and the kirtan. So this is Agni offering his prayer to Lord Vishnu. See if there's any comments or questions. We don't have Jitendriya present for our comment session. Anything? Yes? Regarding?
Prayers?
Prayers.
So I wanted to know I didn't know how to pray in situations where we know that there are certain material things, but if we get those material things, it may give us an opportunity to do more devotional service. But I was not sure if we can pray for such things.
Sure. A way that Srila Prabhupada taught, it's not the only way, but one of the ways is, it was in relation to Prabhupada's health. So the prayer that we were taught was, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please restore Srila Prabhupada's health so he can continue to guide us in our path of Krishna consciousness. Or in Los Angeles, they have a prayer every morning right after Mangal Arati and before the Tulsi Puja, before the Nrisimha prayers. our dear Rukmini Dwarkadish, if you so desire, please send more Sankirtan devotees so that we can increase the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books throughout the world. Like that. For your service, if you so desire, that's one way. What's most important in a prayer like you're asking about is we make sure it's the horse is before the cart, not the other way around. That is, it's the desire to increase our service, not a desire to increase something that we want, but the desire to increase our service to Krishna. Okay? You had something?
I have one question. How can I understand that we're really doing yajna to please Vishnu? Because granted, as a conditioned soul, it's mixed up. And that's where doing yajna to please Vishnu, we're not going to get the desired effect of transcendental experience, and sometimes it creates doubt. If I'm not experiencing a higher taste, and then there must be some.
Well, even let's take something that's relevant for us. We're having a kirtan program, the 24-hour kirtan, or festival of the holy name. We're having nice kirtan. There's a Sunday program, and there's a whole string of chanting before, and arti, and then kirtan at the end. It's nice. So how do we know if it's not just like our musical thing is getting satisfied, or Krishna is actually pleased, or where's the percentage? Where's the barometer for how much percentage is the Lord is being pleased? It's a matter of consciousness. It's not. I don't know of any instrument. Vishnujan asked Srila Prabhupada, at a very famous question. What's the measure? Like you have a thermometer to measure temperature and a barometer to measure the air pressure. So what's the measure for, devotion? And Prabhupada said the tongue for chanting. And he didn't clarify. So, with the tongue, you can, let's say, taste of something as salty or sweet or sour. The instrument is the tongue. So when the tongue has a taste for chanting, and attention, consciousness, is upon the name, not upon me or us, the performers. It's attention is going to the holy name. Something that the Soul Connection Group is, different members are consistently asking is, how can we chant when we're not just like showing off? Meaning, it's part of the enthusiasm for kirtan is showing off. How do we can chant where it's just for pleasing for the devotees? And how do we get over that other thing? Meaning the other thing is there. Or any other service, that you dress the deity very nicely so that when persons see the deity, when the curtain opens, they think, oh, I did such a nice job. So it's the measure is something subtle in one sense, because in the sense that false ego is subtle, it's a very subtle energy. But, you know, it's where does the attention go? Does the attention go to the pleasure of the Lord, or does attention go to how I'm enjoying? Where's the center? And we're trying to move things towards Krishna's at the center, not we're at the center, a group of us combinedly doing something, and we have our group, our kirtan group, or our pujari group, or our cook group, or whatever it is, group, book distributor group, and we're the best. And you know, who's being pleased?
We observe that the other thing is
coming. When you observe the other spirit of material enjoyment is coming.
Right, or it's there while performing the service, how do we correct the consciousness at that time?
Just withdraw your consciousness from here and place it there. It's an act of volition, or it's a free will act. We direct our consciousness, withdraw consciousness, invest consciousness, and however many times you have to do it, keep investing consciousness in the spiritual side. Pray. Something else? Yes?
I did have a fourth chat about your question in regards to yajna sacrifice.
Okay.
We hear that by the performance of, I think the language is Naishkarma Karma Yoga, and the addition of sacrifice, that gives rise to transcendental knowledge, and the transcendental knowledge portion is more important than the activity aspect of the sacrifice.
You lost me. I heard what you said, but I don't know, it's very detailed analysis. Sounds like, you know, Baladev Vidyabhusan's commentary.
Yeah,
because even Nishkam Karma Yoga is not something that's in Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, it's in our Acharya's commentaries. So what you said, I could say back what you said, but you know, I'm not familiar with what Vishwanath Chakravarti or Baladev said on that, so I can't.
I guess my question is, how does sacrifice give rise to knowledge?
The short answer is, it's, you know, right from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Causelessly knowledge and detachment. Knowledge and detachment arise from the performance of devotional service. It's like a spark that's put in the proximity of a fire. Just like that. The natural qualities of the spark that was remote, so it's very dim, becomes very luminous in the proximity of the fire. Similarly, the natural quality of the soul is to be in knowledge. It's a potency of the Supreme Lord, but it's a quality that's invested in every living entity. And when we're in contact with the Supreme Lord, that quality comes out. Naturally. Okay, anything else? Thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.